And we wish you much peace. This is DJ Frederick with the Village Green, a New England music sampler, broadcasting on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London. That was the band Doa from their CD World Dance, a tune called The Awakening, which was composed for the United Nations International Year of Peace and inspired by the promise of world peace written by the Universal Hour of Justice in Haifa, Israel, in 1985. Doa was Randy Armstrong, Ken LaRoche, Martin Quinn, Volker Nerman, and Charlie Jennison. Again, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to live local radio on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London, doing an hour-long program today featuring music from New England, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut. Yes, all the way from the Canadian border to the New York state line. So today we're going to be thinking globally and listening locally. Hopefully I can get my live on-air tongue back. There it is. Thank you. All right. Up in Vermont, there's a gentleman named Adrian Otterman, and he records under the name of Over Orange Heights. We're going to listen to a tune from his CD, Floating in the Whale. Very, very, very cool version of, well, I won't tell you. I think you'll be familiar with this song.
Jesus going on before. brothers and our friends. Some are young, most are old. They come from different worlds. They come from different worlds. The stories will be told for the reason that we come back again. Is that we cherish who we love and time we spend. Yeah, we cherish who we love. I belong in the company of kin, smoking nights, campfire light, we're just singing in the wind. Forget about most everything and let it all sink in. We'll make good on this time you are given. About the race, you can choose the pace, and though it won't last long, memories are strong. Yes, our memories are strong. And to those we will hold on for the reason that we come back again. Is that we cherish who we love in time spent. Yes, we cherish who we love. I belong in the company of kin, smoking nights and campfire lights, singing in the wind. Forget about most everything and let it all sink in. We'll make good on this time you are given. Cause you know that it won't be the same again. And it's hard to appreciate yourself.
Very buoyant song there from a Connecticut band that is really breaking through. They're called Barefoot Truth. That's from their EP called The Life is Calling and Company of Kin. You're listening to The Village Green, a New England music sampler. We're enjoying all of the genres of music that are created by musicians here in New England, past and present. We're going to move forward now with some more music by a gentleman from Nashua, New Hampshire, and his name is Paul Wheel. This is his take on Jabberwocky.
Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaw. laws that bind, but the laws that catch. Beware the Jub-Jub Bershon, Rumius Bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand, long time the manxome foe he sought. So rested he by the tum-tum tree and stood a while in thought. And as in uppish thought he stood, the Jabberwock with eyes aflame came whiffling through the tulgey wood and burbled as it came.
If you're real and
Boston band Puff with a tune called Trees from back in the day. And before that, Paul Weill from Nashua, New Hampshire with his take on Jabberwocky. This is DJ Frederick, and you're listening to The Village Green, a New England music sampler, where we are listening locally and thinking globally. Speaking of local, right now I'd like to introduce you to a piece by local New London, New Hampshire storyteller Simon Brooks. And I realize that he is new to New London. I believe that he moved down here from up around Orford in the North Country. We're going to hear a fantastic story that he does called One Wish.
David and Deirdre lived in a small cottage. It was run down, there were some holes in the walls and the roof needed repairing. David was a woodcutter, didn't make much money, and Deirdre, who was a seamstress, didn't bring in that much more. They lived with David's parents, David's Da and Ma. David's Da couldn't work because the arthritis in his hands made it impossible for him to hold any tools. And David's Ma, well, her eyesight long ago had faded to darkness. She was now blind. One day, David was out in the woods, gathering wood, cutting the lower limbs off the branches, and he stopped to take lunch. He took out his pasty and his bottle to drink and sat down on a log that was there when something caught his eye. He turned, at first thinking that it was a fairly large creature running across the clearing, but when he looked, he saw that it wasn't a large creature at all, but it was a wee person. It was one of the fairy folk, and right behind it was a fox. David leapt up with his axe and ran, shouting at the fox, scaring it away from the fairy. The fairy changed direction, trying to get away from David, thinking that he was after her. The fox had run off some distance. She leapt up onto a log, but a foot went through it. David just watched, amazed that he could see a fairy. He'd never seen a fairy before. There she was, dressed in green. Grasses and leaves seemed to make up her clothes. The fox saw the trapped fairy and ran back to the creature, looking for its meal. David ran at it, swinging his axe once more, shouting, "Leave her alone! Leave her alone!" The fox ran off, yelping and squealing. David walked up to the fairy. "Are you all right?" he said. "Well, it'd be a lot better if I wasn't stuck in this log now." "Oh, I'm sorry, said David. "Let me help you." And David dropped the head of his axe into the rotten log and turned it, twisting it, forcing the crack that the fairy had put a foot through to open up so she was able to free herself. They looked at one another. "I have some lunch," said David. "Would you like to share some?" "Well, I suppose I could," said the fairy, and the two of them went back to the log. The fairy, who was about knee-high on David, jumped up onto the log and he broke some of his pasty off and handed it to her and ate the rest himself. And they shared the bottle between them. And when they were done, David, still not quite believing that he was sat next to a fairy in the woods, said, "Well, I better be getting back on with me work." "Well, I suppose you want a wish, don't you?" said the fairy. "A wish? I'd love a wish." David knew exactly what he'd wish for. He and his wife, Deirdre, had been trying to have a baby but hadn't been very successful. "I'd love a wish. You're not getting more than one, though. It's not like you saved me life. You only freed me up from the log." "I see. No, one wish would be fine. Thank you very much." The fairy reached into a pocket and pulled something out that was silver and shining and gossamer-like, waving in the wind. It looked like stars sewn together. "Oh, that's beautiful," said David. He reached into his pocket and pulled out a tinderbox. He took out the flint and made a nest out of the tinder and held it down to the fairy. She placed the wish carefully into it and looked up at David. "Don't be wishing for anything silly-like. You know, don't be wishing for more wishes, because that won't work. Think about what you want and make a careful wish." "All right." "Okay," said David as he closed the tinderbox and put it back in his pocket. When he looked up to thank the fairy, she'd already gone. David gathered the wood that he'd collected, gathered the wood that he'd cut down, put it into his cart, and made his way quickly home. Deirdre, Deirdre, you won't believe what happened. I saw a fairy. What are you talking about? You saw a fairy? No. I did. I swear I saw a fairy. Look, look, come here. I've got a wish. The fairy gave me a wish. And David told Deirdre about what had happened. He took the tin out of his pocket and opened it. And there was the wish, still looking like 1,000 stars sewn together, shimmering and gossamer-like. Oh, I know what we can wish for, said Deirdre. I do too, said David, smiling. And then David's ma came into the room. What's that? You have a wish? You've got a wish? What are you going to wish for? Well, we were thinking of wishing for a baby, for me and Deirdre. We've been trying so hard to get a baby and we've not had one yet. What do you want to do that for? I haven't seen your face in I don't know how many years, and I can barely remember it. She reached up and touched David's face. Why not wish for my eyesight back and then I can see the baby? You're young, you're healthy, you'll have a child at some time. But no, wish for my eyesight back so when you do have a baby I'll be able to see it.
A wish? David's da came in. A wish? What do you want to wish your mother's eyesight back? You should wish for gold. Then we can pay for a doctor to fix your mother's eyes. You're young enough to have a child. The time will come. You want gold. I mean, look at the holes in the walls of this house. Look at the roof. It needs fixing. How can you bring a child up in a house that's filled with the cold that comes in the winter and the drafts that come through in the summer? No, wish for gold. No, wish for my eyes. Oh, why don't we wish for the baby?
And so the argument began. The baby, the gold, the eyesight. David couldn't stand it anymore. He left the cottage and walked out, outside and up onto the top of the hill. The sun was getting lower and lower in the sky. The sky was turning from blue to purple to orange to reds and yellows. He sat down under the great oak tree that was on the top of the hill. He watched the clouds changing shape, and he thought of his mother's eyesight. She used to love to sit on the porch and watch the sunset. She'd still sit on the porch, but she couldn't see the colours or the changing clouds. She would just feel the warmth of the sun getting less and less as it dropped below the horizon. And as the colours in the sky changed, David thought of the gold that his father wanted. And then suddenly from the forest, he heard the cry of a magpie that sounded like the cry of a baby. And then David knew what he was going to wish for. He saw a cloud changing shape and the golden sunlight hitting the cloud. Yes, he knew what he'd wish for. He ran back to the cottage and walked in. I know what I'm going to wish for, he said. What? Are you going to wish for a baby? Are you going to wish for my eyes? Are you going to wish for gold? No, no, listen, listen. Sit down and listen. David took the tinderbox out of his pocket and opened it. Shining, shimmering, almost invisible, almost not there. Like 1,000 stars shining, like 1,000 stars sewn together with spider's webs. He looked at the wish and he said, in a clear voice, I wish that my mother could see our child healthy and happy in a crib made of gold. Over the next few weeks, David's ma's eyesight began to return. She began to see the colours of the setting sun and the clouds changing shape. She could see her son's face, her daughter-in-law's face. She could see her daughter-in-law's belly getting larger and larger as Deirdre grew heavy with child. And when the child was born, a golden crib appeared at the foot of their bed. And so, with a few well-chosen, with a few careful words, with one wish, David made three wishes come true.
New England's Small Mountain Bear. The tune called My My, and you can download his music for free from his website, www.smallmountainbear.com. Before that, we heard Simon Brooks from New London, the great, 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 great storyteller and a very captivating story from his CD, More Secondhand Tales. That was, of course, One Wish. This is DJ Frederick, and you're tuned to the Village Green New England Music Sampler, where we indeed sample the music of Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island, and all routes in between, basically. And we go into the cities, off into the country, up into the mountains, down into the valleys. We go all over the place, geographically and metaphorically. And thank you for joining this journey. Coming up next, I've got a band from Connecticut. They're called The Last Fair Deal, and here's their cover version of the Beatles' Norwegian Wood.
Should I say she once had me? She showed me her room. Isn't it good, Norwegian wood? She asked me to stay and she told me to sit anywhere. I looked around and I noticed there wasn't a chair. Sat on a rug, biding my time, drinking her wine. We talked until two, and then she said, it's time for bed. She worked in the morning and started to laugh. I told her I didn't and crawled off to sleep in the bath. And when I awoke, I was alone. This bird had flown. So I lit the fire. Isn't it good, Norwegian wood? She told me she worked in the morning and started to laugh. Crawled off to sleep in the bath. And when I awoke, I was alone. This bird had flown. So I lit a fire. Isn't it good, Norwegian wood?
Not like home at all to a young man who's trying to find his way. But a rifle taking aim seemed to me a madman's game. I said I wouldn't go, so I must stay.
I think of how I wouldn't let you come. For the nights are always cold, and you'd be so wonderful, and I'm having trouble living with what I've done.
Somewhere between 200 pages, she knows the characters by their faces. She lives the dialogue line by line. And if she could, she'd never finish. She won't even say the title. Pulp Fiction or the Bible. Either argument could stand. I don't breathe anymore. She gives the world a final notice. Is this what words are down here for? Let's give them the benefit of purpose. She enters the world of the paperback man. The streets are a fiction, just believe what you can. I pick up her suitcase, declare who I am. Pleased to meet you, I am the paperback man.
Paperback man.
I am the paperback man. She sleeps beneath my blankets. Her skin is warm, her flesh inviting. It feels like I'm the one who is writing. It seems like I am the one who is real. But a crooked man is waiting. He's in the ink that marks these pages. He's in the writer's blood and he rages. He is a killer with eloquent lines. If I could breathe, I'd do more. I'd beg the editors for justice. Is this what words are down here for? To kill her off from some high-rise office. She's entered the world of the paperback man. The streets are all fiction. Humanity's banned. I'd kill to
that's who I am. Pleased to meet you. I am the paperback man.
Paperback man.
I am the paperback man. I am the paperback man.
Ellis Paul. From the compilation, This is Boston, Not Austin. That was Paperback Man. And a Boston band from the 1960s, Farquhar, with their tune Streets of Montreal. We started that set off with Last Fair Deal from Connecticut, Norwegian Wood. This is DJ Frederick, and you've been listening to The Village Green, a New England music sampler. Want to say hello to listeners of WSCS. Also, say hello to listeners of The Global Voice. Hope that you're enjoying the program. Playing music from all over the New England area, United States of America. But I just want to remind you, wherever you are, build your community. Do what sustains your community. And this is DJ Frederick saying thank you for listening. The Village Green, a New England music sampler, is a seldom heard radio production.
Seldom heard radio, they'll play seldom heard tune. They'll play seldom heard tune. They'll play seldom heard tune.